Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 23rd, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Callie Johnson, and David or Albert might be with us. We're going to talk to the ODC, catch up with them a little bit. Looking forward to it. Right now, we have with us our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I want to say a big thank you to them joining us when they can, and encourage you to go to YouTube, subscribe to their page. Just type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to that page. Do it right now. In studio, we have with us our good friend, Brandon Verwink, Human Services Director here in Wood County. Brandon, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a while, sir. It's nice to have you in studio. Nice to talk again.
Great. I'm happy to be here, and it has been a number of years, but we have a lot of exciting things to talk about.
Yeah. And Brandon, I want to get into that right away. First off, your position, what does that cover? And I know we only have 25 minutes, but I know that there it's a deeper job than I think many on the surface might see.
Yeah, so Wood County Human Services Department is a very large department for a county our size. So Wood County being considered a medium-sized county, population around 75,000. We're fortunate to have not only a traditional human services department that a lot of folks might think of, which consists of child welfare services, youth justice services, along with supporting folks in our community that need a little extra help. We also oversee Norwood Health Center in Marshfield and Edgewater Haven Nursing Home in Port Edwards. So between those three areas, we have about 320 employees, which is close to about half of the county workforce.
Wow. Wow, that's hearing it broken down like that really expresses how important the position is, but how important this field is, how important having this is. You mentioned the facilities. Let's start there. Let's go to Edgewater Haven Nursing Home first.
Sure. So Edgewater Haven Nursing Home has a long history in our community, so dating back to the late 1800s, when actually Edgewater Haven was known as a Wood County poorhouse. So a very antiquated term, but that was designed to support folks in the community that weren't able to live independently and had no financial means. So it was actually a farm that was set on 200 acres in the town of Seneca and the town of Port Edwards. So I think 40 acres in Port Edwards and 160 acres in the town of Seneca. So it was like a working farm. So folks that lived in the facility worked on the farm and then were living there. So as time evolved, things really changed.
How did it go from that to this?
There became a bigger need in the community than just a smaller type farm. So as we moved into the early 1900s, the Wood County Board began discussing how to better meet the needs of folks in our community. So in 1928, they opened up the Wood County Home for the Aged. And we began serving more and more people. And then the change, as time evolved, there was a need for more changes. But 1928, it started as a one big front-facing building that folks that have been in the community for a long time would recognize. And then as the needs grew in the 40s and 50s, there was additions put onto the facility, and it became more traditional nursing home type care. So we had additions up until the 1970s. So we had the first, we had the 300 wing added, the 400 wing, and then the 500 wing. And then we fast forward up to 2013. The county board had some more discussions because operations began to change and the needs began to change, needing more higher level nursing care in the facility. Plus, we still had that old 1928 building that was front-facing. And so the decision was made that that building was not able to be remodeled. So they began the process, and they voted. First off, does Wood County want to continue to be committed to providing nursing home care to our residents? And the county board said, yes, we do. We feel it's a very important resource that we continue to provide that service to our residents in Wood County. So they supported a renovation. So that old 1928 front-facing building was torn down. And then a new front of the building was erected. So they put on a new administrative wing and then also a new outpatient therapy wing and therapy for the residents in the facility. So that's been a really, really great thing for folks. So having a brand new outpatient therapy facility added on to Edgewater Haven has made a huge difference. So,
is there a difference between Edgewater and some of the other like nursing homes that we have in the area?
Yeah, so all nursing homes provide general skilled nursing care, so generally providing services to folks that we look at folks that might need assistance with rehab, so someone that has a hip replaced or a knee replacement. They're not able to quite go home yet because they need a little extra care, mm-hmm. not able to kind of transition from a wheelchair to their bed, or may live independently and it's just impossible to cook and provide for themselves. So. Mm-hmm. They'll come into our facility and get rehab until they're ready to go back home, and that's really our ultimate goal, is to help someone improve to get home. So all nursing facilities generally provide that service. And then long-term care, which is another service that we offer. Most skilled nursing facilities, nursing homes, so I got to be careful not to talk in some jargon, but nursing homes in our community offer long-term care to residents that will make that facility their home long-term. So mm-hmm. they'll come into the facility and, for example, at Edgewater Haven, it will become their home until they may pass away. Mm-hmm. So those services are all also offered. As far as we do have one specialty unit, which is our dementia wing. Mm-hmm. So we have capacity for 18 residents that may be dealing with some issues of dementia. And that's a really critical service. We've seen an increased demand for dementia care and really across the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're fortunate to have that area to serve 18 residents. And that's an area that we kind of specialize in a bit. So, you know, when you deal with folks that are with dementia, sometimes they can have different behaviors. So they're not quite themselves all the time. Yeah. Some don't. Some are very quiet. But we do have some that have additional needs. So mm-hmm. we have a specialty unit to provide service to them.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, okay. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, one other thing I want to say about Edgewater Haven, and that is the quality of care is excellent. So we have a 5-star facility, which is the highest rated facility that you can have. We are the only 5-star facility in Southwood County, and that really speaks to the quality of care that our staff provide every day to our residents. So the resident care is really a passion of theirs, and for anybody working in that area, you get into providing service in long-term care because you care about the residents and you have a genuine heart for the work.
I'm curious, Brandon, what do you think the future for Edgewater looks like?
Yeah, so as we kind of go back, even 20 years ago, you would see the census at Edgewater Haven probably closer to about 70 residents, mm-hmm. okay? And today, we're in that 45 to 50 range. So you can see it's kind of declined over the course of time, and we've had to adjust on account of that. But one of the bigger reasons for that is the level of care has changed a lot. So if we date back, you know, 30 years ago, you would see a number of the folks that are currently in assisted living used to be in nursing homes. So the level of care really has changed. And if you, especially in Southwood County here, you look around in the Wisconsin Rapids area, you see a lot of assisted living homes, right?
Right.
And they have continued to grow over the last even 10 years. So they're meeting a need that used to in the past be taken care of by nursing homes. So as with everything, things evolve. That level of care changes. So now the folks that come to Edgewater Haven, the level of care that they need is higher than what we used to in the past. That kind of equates to why we have a lower census than we have in the past. But right now, I'm proud to say Edgewater Haven financially is doing well. We have done well over the last number of years. The county has really committed a lot to support Edgewater Haven through renovations in 2014. But also more recently, we've had renovations to our 300 wing, which is our long-term care wing. So that's been completely remodeled. They used to have shared bathrooms there, which when you date back a number of years ago, that was common practice. As you can imagine, if you were in a nursing home, hopefully a long, long time from now for both me and you, you would want a private bathroom. So the county made a decision to install private bathrooms on all the resident rooms there.
That's cool.
So it's made a real big difference, and it gives residents more dignity to have privacy.
Well, and you, I think you hit on a big word there, dignity. you know, that every human being deserves, especially these people. And certainly in this area, it's no surprise to anybody. This is a highly populated senior area. This is an area that needs these kind of things. I think it's just a nice relief sometimes, if for lack of a better word, to hear of a county noticing that, paying attention to that and doing something about it. Sometimes it's a little bit like we're just talking about it now and trying to get something going. We've already had this in place. This has been going on for quite some time. I think we're fortunate in this area when it comes to that.
Yeah, and the investment from the county board has been significant. They are committed to our facility. And when we talk about that, there's been a lot of nursing homes that have closed across the state over the last year to last 5 years. So to continue to keep our nursing home operational is really, really, really important. And for example, my understanding is Pinecrest up in Lincoln County, a county-owned nursing home, is up for sale now. So Lincoln County is looking to get out of the nursing home business. But Wood County is still in it and committed to it, and committed to the folks in Wood County meeting that need, like you talked about, the growing aging population. We're going to see an uptick in need as the baby boomers continue to age and need more care.
It's going to happen sooner than we think.
Yeah.
And we're going to need to be able to be there for these. I immediately think of China in these situations. For those that aren't up on this and everything, in China, they've had this problem for over two decades where there's a generation of people that want to retire, but they can't because there's nobody to take over. They got nobody younger in there to do that and everything. It's a similar situation that could happen here where I'm sorry, you're 70. We need you still. You're going to have to keep working, that kind of thing. We need, as much as we need to cover that, we need to cover our bases when it comes to when they do retire and having a place to land, if you will.
Yeah.
How about we land on Norwood now? I want to talk a little bit about that. And I want to be honest, I was very curious about this because I don't know a ton of history about Norwood, although I think anybody who's lived here for a couple of years, let alone longer than that, has heard the term or knows of Norwood. You just may not know exactly what they do.
Sure. Yeah, so Norwood Health Center up in Marshfield also has a long history. So in 1911, the Wood County Insane Asylum opened. So again, a very antiquated term.
Yes.
So at that point, the facility opened up and it was actually a working farm. There was 250 residents at that time, which is a very high number. And there was in County Road A in Marshfield, that's about where it was located. There was a tunnel underneath County Road A that adjoined the living quarters for the residents that lived there to the farm. So they would walk under the tunnel under County Road A from the farm or from the living quarters to the farm and then do farm work. So the idea back then in the early 1900s was work therapy. We had folks that were suffering from mental illness, and the idea was, well, having them do work and exert some through physical activity could be helpful to them. So they worked on the farm. They had chickens, had a whole bunch of eggs. Actually, in fact, they actually served about 600 eggs a day to the residents that that lived on the farm. grew. They had their own meat, grew vegetables, berries, and honey was produced there as well. Milked cows and sold some of the milk to the local dairies. So it was a working farm for quite some time. So as time evolved, obviously the ideas and methods began to change. And we move into the 60s, the occupancy of the facility was down about 50% from what it was. And the 60s also brought forward the time of deinstitutionalization. They wanted to get folks out of institutions.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So at that point, the county began to look and see what makes sense. And it was no longer financially feasible to keep the farm open with the population half of what it originally was. And then with the push to get folks out of institutions, the county made the decision to build a new facility right in the heart of Marshfield, where Norwood Health Center is located now. And so they built the facility, began construction, I believe, in 1973, and the facility opened in 1974. As with a lot of things that are new, there was some public concern at that time about a mental health facility being kind of in the heart of the community. As it went forward and things turned out okay, we really have really no issues in the community with Norwood Health Center. It's kind of sits on a 21-acre area right now. So we're kind of behind Culver's and the old Rose Bowl there. So right in the community, right next to the YMCA for that matter. So there's a newer YMCA, and we're partners with them. We allow them to use a lot of our green space for kids. So it's a really nice working partnership as well. But currently now with Norwood Health Center, I guess I'd like to share a little bit about what we're doing now. So right now we have a 16-bed psychiatric hospital. And again, fortunate for the size of our county that we're able to offer that level of mental health care to our residents. So if somebody is really struggling and needs to be hospitalized, they're not having to go to Appleton or Milwaukee. They can stay in Marshfield in Wood County. So we have doctors on staff that are available to provide them support. We have an incredible nursing team that is well trained and skilled in the area of mental health. So we have 16 beds. Our average census there, so our average daily population is around 7.5 to 8 residents. So we're not often full. Actually, through my time working for the department, I've never seen us have a full census of 16. So we've climbed up to 14 on a couple of days when things get really busy. But our average, again, is around 7.5 to 8 residents. So we're able to provide really good care.
In this day and age, especially in 2023, I think the last couple of years, we've done a really good job of talking about mental health and bringing a light to this, and it no longer being a hushed term or something that you should feel bad about or something. I think as a society, we've gotten much better with this, but it does still show the need for special facilities like Norwood, where there is having a bad day and then there is a chemical imbalance or there is something like that along those lines. That's a much heavier topic that needs much more hands-on care, if you will. So the importance of having a Norwood is important, especially just doing a little homework before you and I got talking today. I was looking into this, and there are counties and cities right now that are currently building facilities to do what Norwood is already doing, what we've had in this area for quite some time. It's unique, and it's I think noteworthy that we've had this facility, that we've had something that other counties and other places are just now starting to do.
Yeah, and more to that, we have a contract with 23 other counties. So that kind of further, you know, talks about the need that, you know, other counties do send some of their residents to us. So not only do we have the 16-bed hospital, we also have two other units. So we have a 16-bed locked unit. So if someone transitions out from the hospital but is not able to go home safely, we're able to have them live on our long-term care unit until they're able to get to a better spot. And then beyond that, we have a 16-bed unlocked unit. So someone can transition from the locked unit to the unlocked unit, or they can go right from the hospital to the unlocked unit. So, and on those two units, we average about 24, 25 residents in total. So we have room for additional growth there. But we have some residents that have lived in our facility for 20 years. And obviously the goal is for that not to happen. But, you know, when you look at, you know, the size of our county, it's a very small number of folks that have long-term. The ultimate goal is that we can help them get to a point of moving out of our facility and continuing to step down. We also have an 8-bed unit in the facility, which is a crisis stabilization unit. So someone that is in a state of crisis, if they don't need hospitalization, we can place them on our 8-bed, what we call our Bridgeway unit. Okay. So someone that's really struggling but not to the level of needing hospitalization, they can come onto our unit and they can stay. And they'll get mental health care. They'll get support. They can be there for 3 days until things stabilize, or it could be 30 days or 60 days at some times, depending on what their needs are. So really at Norwood Health Center, there's a comprehensive level of care to meet the mental health needs that folks have. We also get them set up after they discharge. So we don't just say, oh, you're going to discharge from our facility, you know, good luck. We make sure they're set up with all kinds of follow-up appointments that they need with mental health providers, make sure they have a provider, that their medications are in order if they need medications. And then because the ultimate goal is we don't want to have them need to be rehospitalized. So it really is a comprehensive level of care that honestly I'm incredibly proud of. I'm proud of Wood County for having a mental health hospital and our long-term care units, because it's not something that a lot of counties do have. You know, a lot of counties choose to, for a variety of reasons, send folks to other facilities. But
we're speaking with Brandon Verwink, Human Services Director with our Wood County. And Brandon, I wanted to spend a little more time than we have left, so you're going to have to come back now. You're going to have to come back sometime. But I want to get into youth programming with you a little bit and how Wood County is taking this on, taking the initiative on this when it comes to our youth in this area.
Yeah, so youth is something that I'm incredibly passionate about. The youth are our future, and we need to do our best to support them. So as part of our department, we work with youth that might be struggling. They may have had some incidents at school that require some intervention. They may have some incidents in the community, maybe habitually truant, not going to school for a variety of different reasons. So we've looked at those issues, and there's so much that we'd like to do. But we started doing a number of things, and one is about 4 years ago, we implemented a youth mentoring program. And that may sound simple, but it's like, trust me, it's a lot more details to it than just simple youth mentoring. And people wonder, well, what does a youth mentor do? Well, our youth mentors work intensively with youth that are struggling. So youth that may not have a positive role model. And maybe our listeners think, well, gosh, everybody should have a positive role model. But that's not always the case for some people. So the design of our program is to give our youth a positive role model, someone that spends 6-7 hours a week with them. And that can be doing a variety of different things, but it can be helping them with their schoolwork, working with them on their schoolwork. It can be doing pro-social activities, teaching them gardening. For example, one of the activities that we're working on right now with our youth is we have a garden out at Edgewater Haven. So we have a number of youth that are just interested in gardening, haven't had an opportunity to do it. So one of our youth mentors is really passionate about gardening, very interested in it, and very interested in teaching. So we have a group of youth that are growing a garden at Edgewater Haven. And last week I had the opportunity to be out there and get a tour of the garden. And we brought some of the residents out from Edgewater Haven. So we're kind of bringing generations together. So we're having some of the older folks that are residents of Edgewater Haven that love gardening, know all about it. So I had the opportunity to push an older lady around in her wheelchair, and she was talking about the crops that are out there, and some of the youth were there explaining what they were. And it was just a really unique opportunity.
But you're bringing
the elderly and our youth that are struggling together, and they enjoy each other.
Well, and the who knows what that organically spins off in their heads for the youth of where they want to take their lives, their careers. So it has that added benefit to it too. And more to the point, the support. I don't know if we could ever, I say this all the time, encouragement, support, cost nothing, can mean everything. And at that age, especially having that. So just having some of that is really great. And you would hope that that creates a stronger youth in our area, and a youth that maybe wants to stay in this area. That, you know, that's one of the bigger troubles right now for any city, any community. I don't care if you're talking about Chicago or you're talking about Rapids, it's keeping residents. That kind of stuff, you know, we see the stats and the data of how important that is. Kids that care about their communities tend to either come back to their communities or stay in their communities. So there's that added bonus of this as well. But most importantly, any kid that is struggling, any kid that is suffering, any kid that is looking for anything, they should be able to have a resource for that thing.
Yeah, I agree completely. So we're fortunate to have three youth mentors right now, and they work with each about 4 to 5 kids and help provide them support, and it's made a significant difference in a number of the youth that we've worked with and help keep them out of trouble. And doing more pro-social activities, even doing some kayaking and things to, you know, get some energy out has really helped them. But they've also learned a lot of coping skills, is which one of the things that we teach them. So when things go bad, they don't turn to alcohol or drugs, but they have some other things that they can turn to as support. So those small things that maybe a lot of folks in our community think about as basic things, we have a number of kids in Wood County, sadly enough, that don't have basic things or don't know basic coping mechanisms. So it's something that we want to build on, but something that we're certainly proud of that we started to do, and there's so many needs for youth that we could get to.
Yeah, and again, you're going to have to come back, Brandon, because there's so much more to talk about with this subject, and I'm really looking forward to getting into it with you. Before we do let you go, though, if people are hearing this and they're interested in becoming a mentor, is there a way to do that? Can they reach out to you?
Yeah, so one thing that we are looking at is doing, right now all of our mentors are county employees, but we are looking at trying to expand to community members that have an interest in doing that. So we don't have that quite in place yet, but that is certainly something that we're looking to do, is to get a core group of folks that want to do something. One option, though, right now that does exist for folks that want to do it is Big Brothers and Big Sisters has come to Wisconsin Rapids. So we are looking to expand and do more in our community. So I would encourage, we refer to that program all the time. Okay. That is a great place to get started.
Really good people, really good program, really good conversation. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Brandon.
Well, thank you for the time. It went by really, really fast.
Really does, doesn't it? Yeah. Again, so the next time you come back, it'll be even faster.
Okay.
Even faster. Thanks again for the time, Brandon.
Thank you.
You can find out more by going to wirapids.org. Encourage you to do that and reach out to Brandon, Mr. Brandon Verwink, anytime. Also want to send a big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Public Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate them. It was your shoes. Your shoes distracted me, Taylor. I love the shoes, man. Thanks so much for being with us, you guys. And we'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.